I suppose it would be accurate to say that the 23rd Psalm is the best known of all of the Psalms, and that probably the fourth verse is the most quoted verse in the 23rd Psalm. Where there the psalmist has written, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, I want to talk to you this evening for a few moments about a topic that's not very popular. I want to talk to you about death. And you know, when you begin to talk about death, a lot of times people will just instantly change the subject because folks just don't feel comfortable in talking about their own mortality. It has been said that man is the only creature who knows that he's going to die, and he's doing everything he can to forget it. And people are pretty good at that job, at forgetting that they are going to die. We're doing all that we can to obscure the fact that everything is winding down to the grave. It is a fact. David spoke of this when he wrote about what he called the valley of the shadow of death. Now, David is saying in this passage that the Lord is to me what I have been to my sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. No doubt there were many times that David led his sheep through valleys where the terrain became difficult, where there were crevices to be navigated, and deep valleys where the valley floor was so far down that even at midday it remained in the shadows. David is saying that there are dangerous places in life, and there are difficult times. There are precarious situations that we can face in life. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. David had learned to face death. And I think it would be helpful for us as we continue our study of the 23rd Psalm to consider some things that he reflects upon when he talks about this valley of the shadow of death. The first thing that I want you to think of with me is the fact that he was demonstrating that death is a decided fact. It is something that is going to occur. Hebrews the 9th chapter and verse 27 is a familiar passage that says it's appointed unto man once to die. And that's an appointment that we shall keep unless the Lord returns, unless Jesus comes again before we die. We are all going to keep this appointment with death. You've heard me say and many others say that the statistics are one out of one person dies. And so we have to recognize when we talk about this decided fact of death that it is a stubborn fact. It is something that is unchanged and unchanging in our physical experiences. We are all going to confront this. But not only is it a stubborn fact, it's also a decided fact that is an uncertain fact. David says, "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." When he talks about walking, he's talking about living. So many times in the Scriptures, we have this kind of usage of the term walk. We ought to be careful how we walk. We ought to walk after the Lord. And it all has to do with our course of conduct. It is our day-to-day activities being described. And so David is saying here that even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, he is living in death's shadow. But he doesn't know when it may occur. He doesn't know when it might happen. Later on, it is David once again in the Psalms who makes this statement, "There is but a step between me and death." It is the constant companion with us, though we may not like to acknowledge it. Old men die. Children die. I must preach as a dying man to dying men and women. This may be the last sermon that I am able to preach. It may be the last sermon that you hear. You know, I have preached the last sermon that some people have heard, a number of people. It does happen. We don't know when, but it does happen. But not only does David indicate these aspects of this decided fact of death, he also demonstrates that it is a personal fact. He says, even though I walk, David was walking through the valley. I walk through the valley. You walk through the valley. You know what happens when a preacher preaches about death? It's an interesting thing, I think. I believe I've seen it happen. When a preacher begins to preach about death, in the minds of some people, I believe they begin to say, "Tell him, preacher. Tell him death can happen to him. Tell him they need to get ready for death." And they do. And so do you. And so do I. You and I had better get ready. You may say, oh, but I'm healthy. Well, you may not be as healthy as you think you are. We know very well from just the limited number of people here, there are a number who have encountered health problems, serious health problems that they didn't know about just a short while ago. You may not be as healthy as you think. But you may be as healthy as you think you are. But you know, automobiles run over healthy people. Accidents happen to healthy people. So the step that is first for us when we begin to reflect on what David has to say in this fourth verse of Psalms 23 is that we need to understand that this valley of the shadow of death of which he speaks is a fact in the life of each and every one of us. We need to think about it because it is there. But secondly, we need to think about the fact that this death is not only a decided fact, but we can rejoice in this truth that it is a defeated foe. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to bring to your minds three truths that are wrapped up in that statement, this shadow of death. Truth number one is that there can be no valley without mountains. It's just impossible. You can't have a valley without mountains. This 23rd Psalm is often referred to as a valley psalm. And I don't know if it's by coincidence or by the design of the Lord, but you know what Psalm 22 and Psalm 24 are? They're mountain psalms. When you read Psalms chapter 22, you read from the inspired words of one who is looking ahead to the crucifixion of the Messiah. It is from the 22nd Psalm that the Messiah, Jesus, quotes as he hangs upon the cross. And it is on Mount Calvary that the things that are spoken of in Psalm chapter 22 are fulfilled. But then when you flip over to Psalm chapter 24, we find another mountain psalm. We find in Psalm chapter 24 the description once again of messianic proportions that describes the coronation of the Christ. when you look in that psalm, in Psalm chapter 24, and in verse 3, there the psalmist says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place?" It goes on with that psalm proclaiming the coronation of the king. Here between these two mountain psalms lies the valley psalm that David speaks of when he talks about, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," between the crucifixion and the coronation psalms. Now, are you down in a valley? Are you trying to traverse some deep, dark period of time in your life? Then look up to the hills. As the Bible says, "To the hills from whence cometh my help." Well, not only is it true that there can be no valley without mountains, it's equally true that there can be no shadow without light. In the statement of this of the 23rd Psalm in the 4th verse, death is depicted simply as a shadow. And it is just that, if one knows the Lord. It's true because Jesus became the death of death. You remember in the book of Hebrews and describing what the Lord came for, it is stated that He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to defeat the devil. And in Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible tells us that many were held in bondage by the fear of death. But Jesus puts an end to that fear. When Jesus defeated death, when He came out of His own grave, and He gave every reason and every justification for those who are His believers to expect that they will arise from the dead as well, that makes death really a shadow to us. Let me illustrate it this way. You and I are walking along down the sidewalk, along a street, and we see cars coming in the opposite direction. And as those cars are driving down the street, the sun is shining in such a way that the shadows of those cars are running up along the sidewalk. And as a car approaches us and we see that shadow coming towards us on the up on the sidewalk, if I begin to say, "Look out, look out," and try to get you to move out of the way, what would you think? Well, you would probably say, "Well, David, that's just a shadow. It can't hurt you." And that's exactly right. The shadows may scare us. They may give us reason to have pause and to think about some things. They may frighten us in some ways, but they cannot hurt us. And that's the way it is for death and the child of God. Yes, I understand it's something that's it's an unknown. It's something that we're not familiar with. We wonder from time to time about it, but it can't hurt us. It is, after all, the valley of the shadow of death. Are you in the valley of the shadow of death? Then look to the light. It is Jesus who said, "I am the light of the world." And because of that, it was the Apostle Paul who then said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting?" And in that text, he was simply describing the defeat of death, or the death of death for the child of God. God gives us the victory, he said, through our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only is it true that there can be no shadow without a light, thirdly, it is true that there is no evil without a greater good. Now, we must recognize that there is evil, that there is evil in this world, and we must deal with the evil that is in this world. And David acknowledges it. He says in the text that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He doesn't say there is no evil. But he says, I will not fear that evil's power over me. Why? Thou art with me. And we've asked from time to time in our study of this 23rd Psalm, when we have references to you and to thou, who is it? And every single time it is the same person. It is the reference right back to that beginning verse, the Lord is my shepherd. It is He who is with me. David is saying there may be evil, but Jehovah is greater than any evil. You remember that great story in the Old Testament scriptures and the prophet of God with his servant, and how there came an army sent out by the king to take the prophet into custody. He sent a whole army. And the servant of the prophet awoke and he saw this army gathered around them and he became frightened. And the prophet said to him, don't worry. There's no need to worry about it. He said, there are more who are with us than there are who are against us. And then the servant was allowed to see what the prophet had seen. And there was a great army of angels gathered around, circled around those soldiers who had come to arrest the prophet. Greater, the Bible says, is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Yes, evil is real. And yes, it is problematic and it is troublesome and it is hurtful and it may bring great despair to us on occasions, but we must recognize that He who is in us is greater than any evil that we might confront. And so, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There is no power that is greater than God's. That's the message of Romans chapter 8 and those closing verses of that chapter where the believer is assured of the fact that there is no power that can overcome God. Jesus had spoken about it when He said that no one could snatch one of God's people from out of His hand. No power is great enough to snatch you away. That would mean that one would have to be powerful enough to overcome God. And that can't be done. And thus, we have no reason to fear evil. And so you see, then, this death. And the way that David began to look at death was as a fact, but also as a foe that had been defeated. And the third thing that he did was he looked at death as a delightful friend. You say, well now, what in the world do you mean by that? How is it that death could be considered a delightful friend? Turn your Bibles, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, writing to his brethren in Corinth, says in verses 22 and 23, he says, in the midst of this text, we need to understand that these Corinthians were debating and arguing about which of the preachers was better, which one was greater, which one should we follow. And Paul is writing to reject that notion altogether. And in the midst of that discussion, he says this. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you. And you belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. Now, what he's saying here is that all of these things work to your benefit. All these preachers that they were debating over who they were going to follow, which one was more noble than the other, which one should be looked upon as the... What Paul is saying is all of these fellows have been working towards the same good, the same goal. And whether it's Paul who's preaching or Apollos or Cephas, or whether we talk about life or death, all things are yours, he says. You ever think about death in that respect? That there is some way in which it is yours? You don't become death's. Death has become yours. How is that so? Well, I think the Apostle Paul, once again, shed some light on this. Turn over to Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter 1. He makes a wonderful and succinct statement in verse 21 when he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, that's a great outlook. It's a great outlook on life. If your life continues beyond tonight and the sun rises in the morning, what will tomorrow be to you? That's just another day. Another day you got to go to work. Another day you got to, you know, punch the time clock. Another miserable Monday. What is tomorrow going to be to you? Well, what Paul says is, for me, to live is Christ. Tomorrow is Christ. Tomorrow is the opportunity to live for Christ. Tomorrow is the opportunity to do as Christ would have us to do. For me, to live, the purpose of living, the use of life, Paul says, is Christ. And to die is gain. Well, what a different outlook on death that is. But it is because it is a man who, as we've read from 1 Corinthians, who says, "Death is mine. I'm not death's. Death is mine. Death is yours. If you're his." And if you're his, then death is yours. Because death is the avenue toward gain. It is the occasion by which we enjoy great gain in the Lord. Death is not an enemy, but a friend. And that's why the psalmist would later write, "Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints." Because it's the occasion of the great gain that they will receive from Him. Now I want you to look with me for just a few more moments at how David thought about all of this. What made this all possible? This view of death as a shadow. This view of death, though a fact and a foe, but yet a friend. It's all possible because, first of all, of what he describes as the presence of the shepherd. "Thou art with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." It's interesting in our study thus far. Up to this point in this psalm, David has been talking about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me. His rod, His staff, everything that he has said to this point in time has been about the shepherd. Look at the transition. Now he talks to the shepherd. I'll tell you what, there is nothing like dark days in our lives to bring us to God and to talk to God. We may spend a lot of time talking about Him, we need to spend some time talking to Him as well. And we'll appreciate His presence in those days when we are in that dark valley. But not only does He speak here about the presence of the shepherd, He also speaks about the power of the shepherd. We won't discuss what we did this morning when we looked ahead a little bit into this fourth verse in connection with verse 3. And we talked about the rod and the staff. These were the instruments of the power of the shepherd. The ability of the shepherd to not only be with us, but to be for us and to help us, to guide us and direct us. When we come to death, we can know that we will not be alone. We talk about in our songs and poetry about crossing Jordan as that time when we make that transition from this life to the next life. It is not made alone. For the powerful shepherd is the present shepherd. And then the third thing that he points out in this is the purpose of the shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I suppose that every shepherd led his sheep through some valley and encountered some difficulties in making that transition through the valley. David is saying that he knows that when he comes to a valley in life, it is crossed, it is passed through for the purpose of getting to a better place. That's the only time, the only reason that a shepherd would lead a sheep through a difficult passage. It is to get to something better. It is to get to the waters or to get to the grass where they might drink and where they might lie down. Somebody asked a man one time, "What's your favorite verse in the Bible?" He said, "It's that verse that says, 'And it came to pass.'" And they ask, "Well, why in the world is that your favorite verse?" He says, "Because I know it didn't come to stay. It came to pass." Well, that might be a little bit of a misuse of the text, but it makes a wonderful point. Those difficult things, those hard things, those dark days are days that come to pass. They will pass. If not during this life, as we pass from this life to that great gain that is brought to us through death, it comes to pass. I think probably all of us have some friends, some loved one, some family member who's a believer, a faithful servant of the Lord, maybe suffering through some hardships, maybe through bad health, maybe the prognosis is dismal in the minds of the doctors. And while we may pray for and hope for recovery for that one, we need to not lose sight of the fact that it may be through passing that a greater gain is achieved, a better place is arrived at, a better condition is enjoyed. That's how David looked at death. That's how he came to be able to say, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." We sing a song sometime that expresses this thought, that I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. I mentioned to you before that the Bible says that death holds many people. The fear of death holds many people in what the Bible describes as bondage. But that Jesus' own death and resurrection broke that powerful hold that Satan had upon mankind, so that mankind could only look at death as a dismal end. Christ changed all that. But it may be that some present this evening still are held in that fearful bondage of death. May I give you something better? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You need not look at death as a great enemy that is unconquerable and undefeatable, for it has already become a defeated foe. Will you not look up to that 22nd Psalm and that 24th Psalm? Look up to the Christ who was crucified for you, to the King who was coronated. And will you not let Him be your shepherd, so that you can say, like David, the Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. You'll make Him your shepherd. You'll become one of His sheep. And your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you'll turn away from your sins, and if you'll confess your faith, and if you'll be baptized, washing your sins away as He commanded, you'll become one of His. And we pray that you would make that so tonight while we stand and sing.